Okay. We're in heavenly places whenever we gather. It's page 136 if you have the book. And it's this week's title is A Safeguard Against the Enemy. And, of course, it's for May 9th because, just so you know, that's today's date. All right. And it starts off with Psalm 37, verse 31, which says, "The law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide." Psalm 37, 31, of course. And then Sister White says, "Many are surprised into the commission of sin because of a failure to study the Scripture. They were off their guard, and Satan found them an easy prey." And this is another reason why I constantly, I'm always praying for my kids and everybody on the prayer list, of course, in this respect, to please stay in the Bible as, often as possible, which would minimum daily. And when I say minimum daily, I'm referring to the fact that, I think you should do it at least twice a day, once in the morning, once in the evening, because if you don't realize, the little traps or the darts or the methods that Satan uses to attack, you're going to be easy prey. And a lot of people think, oh, yeah, right, I've read the Bible once, I kind of know where he's going to come from. Yeah, okay, so you're perfect in the brain and you know absolutely every single solitary scripture by heart, and you'll never, ever, ever forget anything, that you've read. We understand John 14:26. We understand that the Lord will bring all things to our remembrance whatsoever he has said unto us. But if you constantly neglect the reading of the Word daily, you will also be unable to hear him remind you, because the Spirit is being neglected. The Holy Spirit is being ignored, because he's the one that grants the wisdom and the ability to remember better and all that, and the focus and everything that you need. But the thing is, there are these little things, like just even reading in, like, the first one that comes to mind, David, walking around on the roof, has everything he wants in life, everything he needs, he just happens to glance down and sees Bathsheba. Okay? And the truth in names, if you think about it. I've met people over the years that have had names, first names or last names, that kind of spoke of the way they are, and it's weird how it works out sometimes. And I'm not talking about a guy that's a blacksmith and his last name is Smith. It's just funny how sometimes there's truth in names. And then with Bathsheba, it just seemed kind of, comical to me when I came across it the first time, because I had already been witness to strange ways that names can illustrate, if you will, how some people are and how they're named. I mean, just look at the way the in the Old Testament especially, the way the mothers would, or even the fathers, would name their children. There was always a reason for the way the child was named. And Joseph, the way he was named by Pharaoh, Zaphnath-Paneah, right? And then that actually meant the Savior, and because he was going to prevent Egypt from starving, of course. And, Pharaoh didn't realize all that was going on, but, what are you going to do? But anyway, she goes on to say that wonderful possibilities are open to those who lay hold of the divine assurances of God's Word. There are glorious truths to come before the people of God. Privileges and duties which they do not even suspect to be in the Bible will be laid open before them as they follow on in the path of humble obedience, doing His will. They will know more and more of the oracles of God, as well as anything else that He shares with us in the Word. Like I was trying to get to the point a few moments ago before it slipped out. Those little darts that the enemy of souls will send sometimes are kind of repetitive. If you go in Scripture, you'll see it come up an awful lot of times, especially when it comes to pride and the way he can manipulate the people, as strong as they are, sometimes you would think, and how easily they fall. Judas is a good example. Not saying that he was strong or anything like that, but man, that guy was in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ for 3.5 years and still did what he did. But then, you know, it's just, or even the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you know, who knew who they were looking at and knew that he spoke of them. But anyway, she says, the precious faith inspired of God imparts strength and nobility of character. As his goodness, his mercy, and his love are dwelt upon, clearer and still clearer will be the perception of truth, higher, holier, the desire for purity of heart, and clearness of thought. And especially in today's world with the prophesied poisoning of the atmosphere, for those of us who understand well and why it is in regards to that, I have a page on the website called Is She a Prophet? You might want to take a look at that one section where it says that she prophesied that the devil would poison the atmosphere. And look at the chemtrails, or even if they didn't have the chemtrails, we got everything spewing into the atmosphere, especially when it comes to burning fossil fuels. And because originally, for example, Henry Ford, when he built his first car, it was originally designed to run on hemp oil, which is a lot purer, or even hydrogen for that matter could have done it, which the exhaust of hydrogen is going to be oxygen and water. Absolutely no pollution whatsoever. And the fuel source is in every creek, it's in every river, lake, stream, and it's even more so in the oceans because it's already got the catalyst built in, which is salt. But because they couldn't regulate it, or that's their terminology, the reality is they couldn't control it. And so they wanted to be able to become billionaires. So they came up with the idea, let's use crude oil. Even though they had all sorts of opposition in respect to the fact that crude oil is going to pollute the atmosphere. It's going to destroy this planet eventually. They didn't care, because it wouldn't happen in their lifetime. They could care less. And so they went with it. It's always about the dollar. It's very easy to watch how Satan will tempt some people. He usually uses the money thing, especially in America. Oh, it's just ridiculously easy to see him do his stupidity. Anyway, she goes on. She says that the soul dwelling in the pure atmosphere of holy thought is transformed by intercourse with God through the study of his word. Truth is so large, so far reaching, so deep, so broad that self is lost sight of. Amen. The heart is softened and subdued into humility, kindness, and love. And the natural powers are enlarged because of holy obedience. Now, wouldn't you want that? You know, because I was just thinking about that recently, and I'm thinking, Father God, I don't want to see anything that Satan has to offer anymore. I mean, Satan is going to, you know, like, let's say you have a problem with, because I know a lot of guys that had problems in this area, and it's a very strong demon, like pornography, for example, and the devil is going to make, he's going to throw everything he can in your face and get you to look at everything, right? And if you're a Christian, you're eventually going to come to the point and say, look, I'm sick of seeing what you have to show me. I want to see what God has to show me. And so you just ignore everything the devil's showing you. Before you know it, the natural powers are enlarged because of holy obedience. And he'll give you the ability to see things, understand things. And, oh, it's just amazing how the doors open when the child of God is obedient. But the devil's still going to keep throwing him darts. He's not going to stop, especially if you have an issue in that area before becoming a Christian. He'll throw little tiny toe holds at you to try to get you back into that realm. But anyway, she says, from the study of the words of life, students may come forth with minds expanded, elevated, ennobled. Youthful minds fail to reach their noblest development when they neglect the highest source of wisdom, the Word of God. And this is another reason why I like to... what's a good word here? Emphasize. That's a good word. I like to emphasize the importance of reading the Word of God and not just Ellen White. Yes, on Friday nights we do Ellen White. Why? Because most of us have not read 475 books yet, and we want to go through these books and see that which she has written because she is a prophet. It's really amazing the way she explains things using the Bible, the same way Jesus did and the apostles did. They use Scripture to explain Scripture. Or amazing common sense and wisdom and whatnot. It's really nice to be able to have that resource. But at the same time, you're not supposed to neglect the other 66 books that were written in advance. And this is where you're going to find a lot of people ending up in a trick bag, especially young people. that, and we've seen it recently, no need to mention any names, and so we've all seen this recently, where those that don't read Bibles and only read Ellen White can use Ellen White in a way to make it appear a false doctrine is true. And you could do that with any book, to be honest with you, but they use Ellen White because they know that a lot of people, especially in the Remnant Church, look at her as a prophet. And so, or even in the SDA Church, they look at her as a prophet. So a lot of people will use, and the SDA leaders do this, in fact. The SDA pastors and the preachers and the presidents will use Ellen White in a twisted fashion to get the people to stay in apostasy. And if you stay in the Word of God, that won't be an issue. And see, now you could see how it's so easy to manipulate the minds of the masses. And a case in point with the SDA people, for example. If they stay in Ellen White and ignore the Bible, I mean, here's the easiest way to deal with this when you are approached by an SDA or someone that just insists on only sharing with you Spirit of Prophecy. Here's a good method that will either get them to stop completely or get them to repentance. You know, get them back on their knees and get them back into the Scriptures where they belong, as well as with Ellen White. There's nothing wrong with Ellen White's writings. As I said, she is a prophet. But if you don't read the Bible along, because we know she doesn't touch on every Scripture. For those of us that study the Word on a daily basis and sometimes come across those big hurdles, I kind of like to see what she has to say on them. And I got to say, 8 out of 10 times, she don't touch on some of those whoppers. And so you got to come up with this on your own. And unless you're reading the Scriptures, you ain't going to be able to figure that out. Case, and that way you'll end up with, yeah, amen. To the law and the testimony they speak not according to this word, there's no light in them. Isaiah 8:20. And so, but this is what helped me over the years, and it actually stops the emails almost dead in their tracks, sadly. I would prefer they continue after that point to where they go, oh, praise the Lord, I didn't realize, you know, and I think I'll get back into my Bible and stuff like that, you know. But and this is what I do, for those of you that are being annoyed by or being tested by the Sanballat types, ask them, because they're going to answer the way you expect. Ask them, is Ellen White a prophet? They will say yes. Ask them the second question. Her being a prophet, will she go outside Scripture? Will she step off the platform of truth? They'll say no. It's okay. Thank you. Since you and I both agree she's a prophet, and since you and I both agree that she won't step off the platform of Scripture, what does the Bible say about what you're saying? Like when they say to stay in apostasy. They'll twist everything that Ellen White has to say in regards to apostasy so they can stay in the SDA Church, but then when you show them Bible Scriptures that say what they're doing is wrong, they would rather use Ellen White because the Bible is just too blunt. It tells them point blank, you're in sin. Get out of it. And it'll work. Very few times, but it will still work. Some people will wake up. It may take them a little while, but eventually they'll get to it. They'll understand, hopefully. Anyway, she goes on to say that, let me backtrack a little bit. She said, youthful minds fail to reach their noblest development when they neglect the highest source of wisdom, the Word of God. That we are in God's world, in the presence of the Creator, that we are made in His likeness, that he watches over us and loves us and cares for us. These are wonderful themes for thought and lead the mind into broad, exalted fields of meditation. He who opens mind and heart to the contemplation of such themes as these will never be satisfied with trivial, sensational subjects. See, this is one of the reasons I can't wait to get into the Bible in the morning because for years, I used to watch TV all the time. And even as I started to realize TV was a waste of time, I would still watch it at night to try to get my mind relaxed because I didn't have to think for myself and let them think for me. But I got to the point where I said, this is so stupid, especially the sitcoms. I haven't watched... I quit those even before I quit the TV, if you will. Because the laugh track and all this stuff, they try to get you to laugh on some of the most stupid topics just to keep the popularity in the mind going, making you think that this is a fun television program to watch. But the in-depth themes of Scripture, the amazing subjects, aren't trivial in the least. This is why when I started Fire Talk many, 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 many years ago, I used to be a little bit of an annoyance to people that would open up Bible trivia rooms. They would always kick me out and ban me because I would always come in there with a little paragraph that I wrote in advance and let them know that, you know, just more or less putting it in today's language or putting it in a summary, there's nothing trivial in the Bible. You know, and I used, because they used to have sport and have fun with Scripture. And I understand it's a good educational tool, but it's not very evangelistic when you think about it. Unless you are playing the game, it really isn't very effective in your work for the Lord. It's better to go in depth with that which is written rather than to get little bits and pieces of it here and there. It's, I mean, what's the difference between that and the way a Catholic is taught to read the Bible? At least the way I was taught as a Catholic to read the Bible. Open it up one day, you know, every morning, open up the Bible, take your index finger, close your eyes, and then just drop your finger on the page, and whatever verse it lands on, read that for the day. How are you going to get any truth that way? Because you're going to get it out of context 9 times out of 10, too, because they don't tell you to read above and below. They just say, read that one verse. Anyway, finishing it up, she says, the Bible has the highest claim to our reverent attention. We should not be satisfied with a superficial knowledge, but should seek to learn the full meaning of the words of truth, to drink deep of the spirit of the holy oracles. And for any of us that have had hobbies and stuff like this over the years, I always had hobbies because I just couldn't. Now I have no hobbies other than I just do the work, you know, because I don't have time for a hobby. But I can remember some of the things that excited me. And I even watched how my mom used to get into this. It's because it's like making puzzles and stuff like that, because there's a sense of victory, if you will, to put that thing together. Well, you can and learn and putting the puzzle together. I think that's, I don't know if it would be good exercise, if you will, for the mind. But hey, I kind of looks like it is because of the way it allows you to see in areas that most people don't see when you're doing a puzzle. But I'm not saying everybody should start doing puzzles so you can better understand the word. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, when I read the Bible, it's kind of like a puzzle. Because we're none of us, I mean, we're all looking through a glass darkly, and I love going into the Scripture sometimes, especially when I get some of the emails or like some questions are like, whoa, never heard that one before, and I don't have a study on it, so you're gonna have to give me some time to get back to that, you know. So, but it's an amazing adventure. There you go. It's an amazing adventure to me sometimes to go into the Scriptures to get that pearl of great price on that one particular topic. I mean, because we know there's, I mean, the Bible is a string of 66 pearls. If you just look at the books, there's a pearl each. But anyway, I agree. You know, I mean, it's obvious, yeah, with what she's saying here. Without the Bible, we'd all be in a heap of trouble. Because, I mean, sure, Christ would figure out a way, and the Holy Spirit would, of course, guide us in ways that were necessary. But knowing that our Creator is all-knowing, He knew for a fact we would need this book. And so I praise His name for Him giving it to us so that we can grow in Christ. And I hope and pray you are blessed.